So now that we've set up the issues of Amos Mechabel of Haraya to a certain extent, and just to highlight what we want to keep at the forefront, that we see there are a couple of possibilities, whether it's one din or more than one din, or somewhere in between. We also need to stop sneezing. And we also thank you. We also need to figure out whether indeed it's an obvious din or not an obvious din. Getting the question of the maskana of the Gemara on that point, still a little bit of an open issue and something important to keep in mind. So consider all this in light of the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Metzia. The Gemara in the beginning of Bava Metzia on Daf Vav discusses Hamotzi Mechaver Lov Haraya in the following context. And as I've mentioned, and another Gemara in Bava Metzia that I gave you today was helpful just as background as this. This sugya very much connects to the opening discussions in Bava Metzia, the whole question of how to deal with Mamon Hamutal Basafik, with monetary property that we're not sure who it belongs to. So in that context, the Gemara which comes up, thank you, Shkech, the Gemara which comes off the first Mishnah about Shnei Mochs and Batalis. So the Gemara discusses what would happen if you have a situation, Hamotzi Mechaver Lo Haraya, a situation where we're not going to remove property from one party due to this rule, but the other party takes it on his own. We call Tfisa. So if he takes it on his own, do we leave it as is, or do we get involved and do we take it back from him as a Bezdin? So in that context, the Gemara here talks about, and this is a well-known phrase because it's a well-known sugya, and the Shach wrote a sefer with this title, Tukfu Kohen. Familiar with that phrase? That let's say you have an animal that is a Safik Bechor. You have in your possession an animal that we're not sure whether or not it should be going to the Kohen. Does it have Kedusha's Bechor or not? So what happens if, under that situation, we're applying the rule Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, but despite that, the Kohen just takes it. Tukfu Kohen. So then what? So we weren't going to make you give the animal to the Kohen because Asafik, we apply Motzi Mechaver Lo Haraya. But now the Kohen took it already. So should we say, okay, still Motzi Mechaver Lo Haraya, back onto him? So now don't take it back from him. So this is a discussion in the Gemara of Bava Metzia and Bava Metzia. And the Gemara asks that if we're going to come to the conclusion that Tukfu Kohen ain Mutzi in Miyado, that if a Kohen indeed takes it, we leave it with him, because of Hamotzi Mechaver Lo Haraya now, in that direction, so how do we explain the following din? And this is a whole long back and forth of the Gemara. I'm just picking out one line here. So, if that's the case, so how do we explain the following? That we have a din, Hasfekos nichnasin ledir lehisaser. That when you're going to do Meiser Behema, you're going to count 1 out of 10 behemas to give for Meiser Behema. So if you have among those animals an animal that is a Safek Bechor that you are holding on to because you're entitled to a Motzi Mechaver Lo Haraya, so then that animal is also counted as part of the animals towards Maisu Behema. So ask the Gemara, V'isalka Daitach Tokfu Kohen Ein Motzi Nosol Miyodo. If you're going to say that were the Kohen to have taken that animal beforehand, we would not have taken it away from him. So, amay nichnasin ledir. Why are we allowed to use this as part of the count? Let's say we end up giving that from Maisu Behema. Nimtza zeh poter b'mamono b'mamono shel kohen. It's going to turn out that this guy is satisfying his obligations with someone else's property. He's taking the kohen's animal and using that for Maisu Behema. You understand the question? It's a little complicated, back and forth.
Is that mostly chaver al-ra'ah in this case, saying we need to bring a ra'ah to take it back from the kohen?
That would be the premise, if we're going to say that that's indeed the case, that we don't get involved with that ra'ah. So we didn't make the Yisrael give the animal up in the first place. But if the kohen took it, then according to one position, then we don't make him give it back. So the Gemara says, really? We don't make him give it back? So how come, had he not taken it, we're allowed to use this for Maaser Behema? It means you're going to pay off your Maaser Behema with the property of the Kohen? Mm-hmm. Or with something that's possibly the property of the Kohen? Okay.
Why is the assumption that it's the property of the Kohen? If he could take it, and then it would become his.
In which direction?
That it would belong to the Kohen.
So you're saying, why do we ever say Motz Mechel V'Ra'ah here?
Not even there. Maybe if you have an argument to say that there's suffix mm-hmm. in terms of the ownership, then maybe I'm missing the Mechel V'Ra'ah and still get there. But maybe just to say that a starting point belongs to the Kohen because it's a suffix before.
Okay, so that's a chiddush by itself, right? It's interesting to see, and we see this in other places also, that the Kachim ramifications are tied into the mumminous ramifications. Right? So that's not an obvious point. It's worthy of discussion by itself. But it's an interesting reality that we first define the mumminous based on the rules of the mumminous, and then the kachim flows from that. Right? So if we establish a motzim echaver lo varaya, so then we don't have to look at this apparently. That's what it sounds like. We wouldn't have to look at this like a suffix isser. Except the Gemara says, but hold on a second. I could have believed that. Until you tell me that if the Kohen were to take it, then it's the same story over there, that we're not going to take it back from him. Now, like Maury's saying, it seems like we're dealing here with a possible kachim, possible, but it's still, even the kachim, we're still expressing with the language of mamonos. So before this, the Gemara talks about it should be usur begiza v'avoda. So if we're assuming that we would have left it with the Kohen, so then how could you use it for your Meiser purposes? So it sounds like the Gemara is saying, from there you have to assume that Tokfu Kohen Motziin Miyado. That if the Kohen were to take it, we would take it back from him. Now the Rambam happens to paskin differently on that point, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But it sounds like the Gemara is pushing you in the direction of, because of that din, that you can use it for your Meiser, you have to say Tokfu Kohen Motziin Miyado. Now that was a pretty complicated Gemara, so I'm happy to explain it again. But Sam, did you have a question?
No.
Okay, should I explain that again? Because it's definitely a little bit complicated. Okay, so there is a din that, because we say Hamotzei Mechaver Lo Haraya, that you don't have to give a possible Bechor to the Kohen. If it's a Safek, you can keep it. So, okay, Hamotzei Mechaver Lo Haraya. But then there's a question. Do we also say that on the Kohen side? If the Kohen were to get his hands on it first, so do we leave it in his hands? Because of Hamotzei Mechaver Lo Haraya. So the Gemara says, if you want to say that, Tokfu Kohen Ein Motziin Miyado. So then, how can you, without him taking it, use it for your Meiser purposes? Apparently, we think that it's possibly Mamono Shel Kohen. And then you can't use it for your Meiser. So it sounds like you're right. Oh, and the right, it must be that a motziin miyado, or it must be motziin miyado, will have to take it away from the coin, but the Gemara is a little back and forth about that, and the Rambam paskens differently. So what do you think is the machlokus in this Gemara in Bav Metzia? The whole question of, should we treat it like possibly the coin, should we not treat it like possibly the coins? Right, essentially the Gemara is saying that when the Kohen hasn't actually taken it, the theoretical possibility that we would have left it with him means that the Yisrael who practically actually does have it, should still treat it like it's the Kohen's property, even though he's not actually giving it to the Kohen. Right? That's what the Gemara is basically saying. That if you're going to tell me that if the Kohen wouldn't have to give it back, then that shows you that even if the Kohen didn't take it and the Yisrael has it, so the Yisrael can keep it, but he's got to treat it like it is Kodesh, like it is property of the Kohen. But apparently that's a disputed point. Because sounds like the Gemara is saying that it's not necessarily true. So what's that machlokus about? The question of, if you have to treat your Safek Bechor, to say it in one sentence, the Safek Bechor that you have in your property, that you're allowed to keep, do you have to treat it like Kodesh at all? What is that machlokus about? Sam?
Who has the rights to the property?
Well, it seems like we're saying that the Yisrael has the rights, right? If we're saying Hamotz Mechavel Varai applies here, he keeps it.
Well, that's one side of it.
Okay, but if we're going to say that, we definitely say that. That part we know we say, right? We say that he gets to keep it.
Right.
So Hamotz Mechavel Varai. The only question is if the Kohen chaps it first. But if the Kohen doesn't chap it, he gets to keep it. But our question is, do we say that he has these limitations? He shouldn't be able to use it for Meiser. He shouldn't be able to work with it. So what's that machlokus about? Jacob's hands up higher. Okay, so it says Bar Yoshev. It's a Bar Yoshev and how the hands were raised. So, yes.
Sorry, sorry.
Yes, okay.
Seemingly it's machlokus on kind of the requirement of possession and what, like, the threshold of possession required to be considered yours, Linyan Meiser, or Linyan other things. Meaning, if someone has the possibility of taking it away from you, then seemingly that doesn't constitute full possession. And for things like Meiser, it has to be 100% in your possession to be used as your Meiser.
Interesting. Okay, that definitely makes sense. I think it's not the only way to see it, but it definitely is an understandable approach. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman talks about this in his Kovetz Aris Diyuvamos, in Siman Ayin Aleph. And Rabbi Chanan understands the question as follows. And I alluded to this yesterday, that we would be talking about this today. Sorry?
He says it's called Hatayna.
Not exactly. It's a different... in a different context, but yesterday alluded to the fact that we'd be talking about this today, so it's a little bit of a clue. It says, what does Hamotzi Mechavei Lo Haraya indicate? And I said yesterday that this is a question you could also ask about Muchzak. It's a three-part question. You could ask this question about Hamotzi Mechavei Lo Haraya, you could ask it about Muchzak, and you could ask it about them together if you assume they're the same din. But what does Hamotzi Mechavei Lo Haraya indicate? Does it mean that it's actually yours? The halacha sees it as yours? Kol zman that somebody else doesn't come along with a raya? Or, no, it doesn't mean anything about what's really the halacha. It means that we cannot take action against somebody without a raya. We can't take something away from somebody without a raya. But Alpidin, is it his? Who knows? We don't have a raya that it is his. We just don't have a raya that it isn't. So, says Rabbi Chana, that's what they're arguing about over there in Bav Metzia. That if you want to say that it's just a question of how to behave, that Bezdin's not going to come to interfere if we don't have any kind of proof in one direction or the other, then maybe that means both things. It means that we won't make the Yisrael give it to the Kohen, because Bezdin's not going to take it away from the Yisrael without proof. But if the Kohen happens to get his hands on it, we won't stop him either. But essentially, maybe Hamotzi Mechavei Lo Haraya just means Bezdin is not going to act and interfere without proof. This could be similar to one of the scenarios that Rishonim discussed in the beginning of Bava Metzia. So the Mishnah says if two people are holding on to something, you split it. And the Rishonim bring Gemara Shmuel over Shas, where there are different approaches to disputed property. So one concept that appears a few places in the Gemara and Bava Basra and elsewhere is a concept called Kol De'olim Gvar. And Kol De'olim Gvar is a little bit of a mysterious approach. Olim, you'll recognize that word from yesterday. It means whoever is stronger. And basically it means that we let them fight it out. Fight it out legally, fight it out physically, it's not clear. But it sounds like it means that Beis Din just doesn't get involved. That there are some scenarios where we don't have enough to work with. And Beis Din says, listen, there's nothing we can do here. You guys are on your own. So, is that what we're talking about when we say Motzei Milcha V'Raya? That we're not going to make the Yisrael give it to the Kohen because we have no proof. And we won't make the Kohen give it back because we have no proof against him either. So if that's all it means, so it doesn't tell us anything about the reality here, even the halachic reality. It doesn't tell us anything about the halachic reality. For all we know, this animal really is the Kohen's. And really has a din of Kodesh. So it should be also begiz of Avoda. It should be ineligible for his miser. We have to factor in the possibility that it's really the Kohen's. So is that the whole scope of a Motzei Mechaber L'Varaya? Or should we say that no, Hamotzei Mechaber L'Varaya is a halachic reality. It's a little bit like the monetary sense of the presumption of innocence. Right? That until you prove somebody guilty, he is legally innocent. So maybe so too, until you prove that somebody else owns the property that's in your possession, it is legally yours. And if that's what it means, so then we can understand why this guy can use his animal for Meiser Behema, because Al Pi Din is his. And we don't have to worry that maybe it's Kodesh. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya tells us that it's his. You follow the yeah. So what's the significance of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya? If it just means that we don't get involved because we have no proof, so Bezdin's not going to do anything. So then, okay, we understand that there really is a suffix here. And we don't know, just because we're letting the Yisrael keep it, physically, we're letting him retain it in his possession, doesn't mean that it's really his. So therefore, halachos of Kodesh, or concerns of Kodesh, at least, should apply. But if we say that no, Hamotzei Mechaber L'Varaya, it doesn't just mean we don't get involved. It means that there's a presumption, halachic presumption of ownership to the person who has it. Parallel to the idea of a presumption of innocence before somebody is convicted of a crime. So unless it's proven that what is in your possession is not yours, the halacha views it as yours. So therefore, he can treat it as his for all intents and purposes. Meiser Behema and the like. Okay, you understand the two possibilities? So it's a very fundamental question about this whole principle. So says Rabbi Chanan, problem is our Gemara. Bavakam Adaf Menvav. Because we have seen in our Gemara that there is a apparent debate about the halacha of Hamotzei Mechaber L'Varaya. Is it obvious or not? Does it require a pasuk or not? Do we say that it's learned out from this past week's parsha, or do we say it's a svara and we don't even need that? And now we saw, Rabbi Chanan is not getting into this discussion, but we saw in our discussion that not so obvious what the conclusion is, that there's some room to wonder. But Rabbi Chanan is working off the premise that the maskana is that it is a svara, but it's obvious. So then he says we have a problem with this Gemara in Bava Metzia. Because if the conclusion of the Gemara in Bava Metzia is that it's a din vadai, that it's not just Bezdin's not going to get involved, but that we really treat it like yours. So then, is that obvious? Which of the two possibilities in the Gemara Bava Metzia might be obvious? Might be Svaradik. Sam? The first one, right? Okay, to say, listen, we're not going to get involved if we don't have any proof one way or another. All right, I could believe that that's a svar. Because I have two choices, get involved, don't get involved. So why should I get involved if I don't know that I'm doing the right thing? So it makes more sense to not get involved. So okay, I could believe that's obvious, doesn't need a puzzle. But to say that the possession creates a din of ownership? And for example, like Rabbi Chanan discusses, so can you be Mekadei Shanisha with something that's in your possession because of a Motzei Mechaver Lo Harayim? Or can you... Sorry? So he says that should be totally on that Gemara and Bava Metzia. Did you say that that's essentially what they're arguing about? Can you use a lulav on the first day of Sukkot if it's a suffix, whether it's yours or not? We have a din of lachem, you have to own it, right? So let's say you own it because you're in a fight with somebody else about it, but you have it, so almost merchaber al varai. So can you use that lulav for the first day of Sukkot? It's presumably yes, because the whole discussion Bav Mitzvah and Davav. But if that's what it means, Hamotz Mechaver Lavaraya, so is that so obvious? Doesn't need a pasuk. So essentially, Rabbi Chanan feels that there's a stira between these two gemaras for that reason, or that there's at least a kasha between these two gemaras. That it sounds like the conclusion of Bav Metzia Davav is that Hamotz Merchaver Lo Haraya creates a halachic reality. You own it. But from our Gemara and Bava Kamma, it sounds like you don't need a pasuk, it's a svara, and therefore it's hard to believe that it actually goes that far. It would seem much more that it's just a question of who we're going to interfere with, but it doesn't actually indicate ownership, because that would be a bigger chiddush, and you can't call that obvious. Everyone follow the question? So that's how Rabbi Chanan understands that there seems to be a stira between these two sources, and he notes that the Rambam indeed paskins that tokfu kohen ein motzim miyada, that we'll leave it with a kohen. And he says, why does the Rambam paskin that way? Because of Bava Metzia? No, because of Bava Kamma, he says.
It makes more sense.
Right. He said, because of Bava Kamma, he paskins that way. Not because of how the Rambam learns the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the whole back and forth about Tokfu Kohen. He says it's because of our Gemara. Because since our Gemara says that Amotsu Mechavel Varaya is obvious, if it's obvious, it can only be a din in just not interfering. And if it's not interfering, says that's why the Rambam's conclusion is Tukfu kone emotzi in the other. We'll leave it with a kone. Mori, you had a question?
On the assumption that that the second one would just be a chiddush and not misvara, if we throw it back to the three chazakas that we were mentioning yesterday, there is the cheskes kashrus, and there is the cheskes the chazaka of the muksa. So once we don't assume. I thought that we don't assume that people are lying. So meaning, it doesn't seem like it's such a chiddush to believe that the guy that if he's holding it, it might. Again, tied in mainly with the Cheskes Kashrus. If he's holding it, why isn't that enough of a proof?
It would have been maybe it would have been. So maybe it would have been, and this is also definitely worth exploring, that maybe it would have been had there been no other challenge to it. Right, so, but once we give some kind of a chazaka to that guy too, so then it gets more complicated.
Right, because there's a chazaka to this guy also.
Right. The average person who's got something in his possession, and nobody's arguing with him, it's overwhelmingly likely that what he has is his. But when somebody is challenging it, then that very much shifts. And this is something we're going to see in the Holcha Mamanach HaRov discussion. Joe, do you have a question?
Yeah, so just to clarify, Rav Chanan's paskening in Bava Metzia one way versus the other, or he's...
His interpretation is that the Gemara in Bava Metzia is telling you that it's a din vaday, that's why we would leave it with the Yisrael for all intents and purposes. So that the whole machlokus in Bava Metzia is about, is it just a way of behaving or is it din vaday, but that the conclusion seems to be it's a din vaday. And at our Gemara, the conclusion seems to be that it's obvious. He says, how could they both be true? That it's obvious, but it's a din vaday. Okay, and we got the question? Now, parenthetically, Rav Chanan, who doesn't really answer this question, then goes on to show how it's machlokus in other places, so we'll have to answer it from elsewhere. But he does take the topic a little bit further, and points out, and this is also very valuable background for our upcoming sugya, that in halacha, even when you say it's a din vaday, even within that possibility that we treat it as a vaday, there's still two versions of that. And he gives the example to contrast edim and chazaka. That we have a halacha, we follow testimony, we follow edim. But we follow edim because we believe that they're telling us the truth. So if you were to have two kosher edim come say something, and you happen to also know that they're factually wrong, so then we wouldn't accept them. But we have a concept of a chazaka, and here we have to speak a little vaguely because there are different kinds of chazakas, and we'll see this a little bit in the next sugya. But chazaka often means, and maybe Rov might mean this also depending on the context, that we don't necessarily think that the chazaka is telling us the truth. It's telling us how we're permitted to behave when we don't have the truth. There's a difference. You know, what do you do if you don't know the truth? So we have to have some kind of a plan. So are we using a plan that tells us what we actually think is most likely to be true? Or is it that if we don't know, we have the right to follow this plan even though it doesn't necessarily connect to the truth? So, for example, there is a well-known sugya which Rav Chanan talks about in this context also. Shnei Shvilin, if you ever learned the first parak of Psachim, or the Mishnayos in Taras. So you'll see there's a Mishnah in Taras which talks about there's two different paths to get to the same place. And one of the two is Tameh. We just don't know which one. So the rule is, Safek Tuma Bershus Arabim is Tar. If you don't know, you're allowed to treat the Safek Tuma as Tar. So the Mishnah describes somebody who takes one of the paths and he comes and he asks the Shaila, my Tuma or my Tar? So we're allowed to say he's Tar because Safek is Tar. Now, what happens if the next day another guy comes to the same Rav and he says, am I Tamei, am I Tar? Because he walked the other path. So then what? What's the answer? What do you think? Same thing, he's Tar. How could it be? They can't both be Tar. We know one of them is Tamei. So, yes, but the answer is that the Safek, the rule there of Safek Tar, Bishat Tabir Safek Tumr Shabbat is Tar. What does that rule mean?
It's more like that first approach that Rav Chanan was talking about.
Right, but essentially, well, the second one really. It means that...
Yeah, sorry.
The second approach,
not
right.
Within Vada,
but they're both within Vada. They're both possibilities
right.
within Vada. Right. So, does it mean that... It doesn't mean that we think in facts, in reality, they're both... We know that one of these two paths is Tamei. But the rule allows us to function a certain way when we don't know what the truth is. So it means we have the halachic right to treat each path as tar, even though we know they can't both be right, they can't both be true. In Lamdisha terminology, that's called, including where Rav Chanan uses that language elsewhere, it's called the difference between a din birur and a din hanhaga. In other words, is it a birur? Do we think that what we're doing is clarifying the facts? Or is it a din hanhaga, meaning it's a rule of behavior? We don't know what the facts are. We don't claim to think this is factual. But in the absence of knowledge, we have a right to act this way. So even if you say that hamotzi mechaver levaraya is a din vadai, and that it leaves the property in the hands of the possessor for all intents and purposes, he can use it for Meiser Behema, he can use it as a lulav, he can use it to be Mekadesh and Isha. Is that because we say that we think it's overwhelmingly likely that it's actually his? We would call it Din Birur? Or no, we have no idea. It's certainly possible that it's not his. But it's a Din Hanhaga, the halacha allows us to look at the chazaka and to function based on that. On a level of Minhat Torah, for all intents and purposes, to treat it as definitely the case, because the din is, we leave it with him, even though we have no idea if that really connects to anything factual. So that's also a part of the discussion. But in any event, to say it's one or the other type of din vadai, says Rabbi Chanan, how does that reconcile with the conclusion that Motzi Michavel Varai is so obvious it doesn't need any source? It's so obvious and yet it has such an impact? That's hard to believe. Now it's interesting to note, to segue also, on our original list we saw the Rashi in Gittin that says the Motzi Michavel Varai is Minat Torah from the Pasuk, part of muddying the waters here about what the conclusion of the Gemara was. If you look at the Pnei Yoshua over there, the Pnei Yoshua says the question of whether it's learned from the Pasuk or whether it's learned from the Svara connects to whether you say Ein Holchem Amam Anach HaRov. In other words, if you say Ein Holchem Amam Anach HaRov, then yes, it's obvious you're not going to take away without a Raya. But if you don't say that, then you'd need a Pasuk to make this point. But what about Rabbi Chanan's kasha? So I thought we were going to finish it today. I guess it'll take a few minutes tomorrow, but it'll leave with a good cliffhanger, sense of suspense. So think about this for tomorrow. I'll give you a little bit extra, Blinetter, I'll give you a little bit extra to see about this, and I'll give you the makoros for Chochma Menachah Harov also tomorrow. But we'll start with this question. So how do you reconcile these two possibilities? That Amotzi Mechaver Levaraya is obvious and doesn't need a pasuk, and yet it sounds like from the Gemara in Bava Metzia that it has absolute status to it, which seems far from obvious. Seems pretty impressive. Okay, so we'll pick up from that tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Enjoy the work.